This is Steve Weatherford, Super Bowl champion, 10-year NFL veteran, entrepreneur, husband, and loving father of five. And welcome to the Steve Weatherford Show, the secrets to a high performance life. This podcast is for the hungry. It's for the dedicated. It's for the dreamers that want to take that dream and live that everyday reality. This is not your average podcast. If you are ready to peel back the layers of your pride and your ego and level up your life, then get locked and loaded as we peel back the curtain and help you decode the secrets to a high performance life. All right, guys, I wanted to give a big shout out to our show sponsor, which is Pure Spectrum CBD. And really, my journey of CBD started a little bit over a year ago in 2019. And I wasn't real sure which CBD company to use. I'd read enough studies that had told me and proven that its focus, pain management and inflammation, that CBD really does an incredible job with that. And so over the course of 2019, I tried a lot of different CBD companies and I tracked my biometrics with my Whoop band. Now, based upon all of 2019, I tried seven different companies. My biometrics were best with Pure Spectrum, and that's the sponsor of the show. And so I actually reached out to him. I said, hey, man, I love your CBD, and based upon my biometrics, man, it's the best one out there. And so what it is, it's high dose CBD oil that I put underneath my tongue. Before I go to sleep, I put two droppers of 2500 Black Label, and it has increased my deep REM, and I have metrics to prove it, 28%. So just think about if you got 28% more rest every night, how much your pain would go down, how much your inflammation would go down, and how much your focus and your energy would go up. So if you want to give Pure Spectrum CBD a try, if you go over to their website, purespectrumcbd.com, and it's also in the show notes, use code Weatherford. They'll give you a discount, and they are also the U.S. Olympic sponsor, so that's got to make you buy with confidence as well. So I hope you guys appreciate that, and enjoy the show.
Pornhub is the largest and most popular porn site in the world. Owned by the mega porn parent company MindGeek, Pornhub averages 42 billion visits per year. That's 115 million visits every day. Most of the content featured on their site is user-generated, amassing 6 million new videos each year. That would take 169 years to watch. Pornhub has become the global epicenter of internet pornography. The company makes hundreds of millions of dollars through ad revenue, data collection, and premium subscriptions. And it's blatantly enabling and profiting from rape, sexual abuse, and child sex trafficking. Like the missing 15-year-old girl who was found after 58 videos of her rape were posted on Pornhub. Or Rose Kalemba, the 14-year-old, who the BBC reported was kidnapped at knife point, raped and assaulted on camera for 12 hours, and had to beg Pornhub for months and threaten legal action to remove the videos of her rape and torture. Or the images of a toddler being sexually abused, found through an investigation by the Sunday Times. Or the 22 women who were deceived and coerced by the producers of Girls Do Porn, a popular Pornhub partner channel, whose owners now face a federal indictment for child pornography, sex trafficking of a minor, sex trafficking, and sexual abuse. These examples only begin to scratch the surface of the sexual crimes found on Pornhub. According to the Internet Watch Foundation, in only 2 years, they processed and confirmed 118 cases of child rape and trafficking on Pornhub. These aren't models or actresses playing a role in a movie. These are real videos of women and children being sexually abused, violated, and traumatized. And Pornhub is deeply complicit. They have no system to reliably verify the age or consent of anyone featured in the videos it profits from. The largest porn site in the world makes it insanely easy for users to upload videos of real sexual violence. And in doing so, they forever memorialize the trauma of their victims, all for the profit and pleasure of Pornhub and its users. It's time to shut down Pornhub and hold them accountable for the rape, trafficking, and sexual abuse that they enable and profit from. Share this video and sign the petition at traffickinghub.com.
All right, guys, a little bit different of a show this week. The reason I started out this podcast with that particular audio is that something I shared on Instagram about 3 weeks ago. And honestly, it's something that I've struggled with since I was 12 years old, and I can tell you exactly when it was that I saw porn for the first time. I remember the month, I remember the house, I remember everything about it. So with all those things being said, this podcast and my prayer and my hope and my vision for this podcast is for freedom. Freedom for people that are addicted to something like this the same way that I was. Freedom for, you know, all those little girls that they talked about in that secular video that doesn't talk about all of the damage that it does for the people that are sitting on the other side of the screen. So I don't believe there's ever going to be a world where we're going to eradicate pornography, but I believe if we're leading a crusade that is just only to save little girls, guess what? Everybody, when nobody's around, all of those people will still be supporting that website by consuming it. So I'm making this podcast right now, man, because I'm planting my flag. Something happened for me 2 years ago. I was saved, I was redeemed, I was transformed 2 years ago. And I had tried and I had repented and I tried all these different things that people had tried to eradicate porn out of my life, to eradicate porn out of my marriage, to eradicate porn out of all of the facets of my life, because guess what? It is there every single place that you look. Everything is sexualized. Fitness is sexualized. Supplements are sexualized. Reading books is sexualized. Everywhere you look, the devil is attacking you. And so with all those things being said, I'm sitting right next to a very trusted spiritual mentor of mine. He's been on our podcast before. His name is The Love Preacher, aka Pastor Tommy. And on the other side of me is King Connor, my most trusted associate, the guy that you guys have heard many times on this podcast. But I think it's awesome to be able to have these men here, because Connor's in a different season in his life than I am. He's 23. I'm 37. I have 5 kids and I'm married. He's single at 23. Pastor Tommy, how old are you? 50?
51.
51 years old. So he's in a different season of his life. His kids are out of the house. But the thing is, pornography and all of those things that the devil uses to divide our home and to ruin our identity and to put shame and guilt and slime and grime all over you, so you don't pursue God's calling on your life. So, Pastor Tommy, I would love for you to just open us up in prayer. And man, let's just rip this thing open right
now. Let's go. Father, we just thank you right now for what you're doing, what you're going to do, not just in this moment, what's happening on Instagram, but what's going to happen when people are listening to this, and for the future generations, God, that are going to listen to this as well. We just thank you that you're opening eyes, that you're opening ears, and you're slicing open hearts today to do what you do best, and that's this amazing surgery to get the junk out, to get the cancer stuff out, and then to heal us back up. It's that sword of the Spirit that just, it cuts and it heals, and we thank you for that today. We thank you that the enemy is getting stepped on today, that we're crushing the spirit of this stuff, that we're bringing to the light, we're pulling out of the darkness and bringing into the light your truth, your tactics, and your way of getting through this and over this and putting this behind us. We thank you for that, that you love us and that you're not mad at us, and that you care about us. We honor you with this. We glorify you with this, and we give it all up to you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Come on.
Man, I'm going to say it right now, and I'm going to say it again when we finish this. Share this with somebody you love. Take this podcast, copy the link, and just send it to the men in your life, not because you're judging them, but tell them, making a declaration, man, this doesn't belong in my life, this doesn't belong in our life, let's get to the next level. And we can't get there carrying this weight, carrying this addiction, carrying this shame with us. So I'm just asking you guys, man, to do your part to spread this mission, to spread this message, because this is kingdom work that we're doing right now. This is kingdom conversations, because these are the things that are going to move you forward in your life, the things that, honestly, you don't share with anybody, but you struggle with in the darkness. So Pastor Tommy, start us off, because I know we've got some tactical things that we're going to share with them and how they're going to beat this. But I think maybe the best way to start it would be to kind of talk about collectively from King Connor, myself, and you, like, at what point did porn enter your life, and what was your relationship with it, and how did you beat it? Because we all have different stories, and we all have to get armored up every single day, because it's just like, you know, once you're a drug addict, it's not like, you know what, 10 years from now you can say, no, I'm not a drug addict. It's something that will continue to carry after you and chase after you.
Yeah, and let me just say this, that, you know, it's interesting that we are recording this or filming this in the middle of what the world sees as a pandemic of some kind of sort. But really, I think this is the real pandemic, right? This is the pandemic that's been going on for years and years. And what's really cool is that today, I believe we're going to bring a vaccine to this thing
today.
Come
on, man.
All right? But for me personally, it started, and we were talking about this earlier. I was 12 years old. I remember sitting in the living room of my parents' home, and that's when cable had just started. So, you know, there was the back channels.
Look what I wrote down. I wrote down that on my notes, switching TV back and forth to decipher the image. Same
the back
for you.
Channels, you know, so you get to that, and it's this black and white, like half fuzzy screen, mm-hmm. but there was this enticement, there was this draw to whatever was going on that screen. And so that happened at 12 years old. And I can tell you, man, every time I saw it or every time I thought about it, it was just the enticement, or it's kind of like it's where the addiction starts, because you get a taste.
Yeah.
You get the little taste of it, you know?
Yeah, well, you're a little boy. You're curious.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so, like, it's almost like it's an urge that we all have, and we know that we're not supposed to do it, but then why does it feel good, and why are we curious, and why, you know what I mean?
But what that did then, that developed me into, this is what I should expect. Mm-hmm. I should expect to perform and act like a porn star in my encounter. But then it also opened up the door to so many other crazy, wild things. But like now all of a sudden I've got all these expectations, and then the girl that I'm going to be with, she's going to be a porn star, and this is what she's going to look like. And then there's all these unrealistic expectations. So for me, that just opened the door to a lot of the trap mm-hmm. and the lie.
Yeah, same for me, man. I was 12 years old. I was at my aunt and uncle's house, and we were obviously sleeping at their house because we drove from Louisiana up to Indiana. It was around Christmas time. It was around my birthday. I remember it being around my birthday. My birthday is December 17th. And it was the same thing, flipping the channel back and forth. And you could almost get, you couldn't see the color, but you could see everything else. Yep. And you could hear everything else. And so, dude, I remember sitting there, and it's like, almost right now, even now, I'm almost embarrassed to tell the story, but I believe these are the types of stories that we need to get out there and talk about. But I sat there for probably an hour at 1 o'clock in the morning, stayed up. Nobody knew I was awake because I was in the basement sleeping there, just flicking it back and forth and watching, like, I guess you would say half of a porn. But man, that was like, to me, it was the first time I'd ever seen that. And so it was like 4D for me because I was a little boy. And that's when my relationship with pornography started, and I pursued it after that.
It's interesting you call it a relationship.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Right?
Because when I'm like, even as an adult, say two years ago, before I had my transformational breakthrough, I had a relationship with it. You know, if I had a bad day, I lost money in business, that was always there for me, and it was a coping mechanism. It was like a drug, because you have trouble in your marriage, regardless if it's intimacy or it's a fight or whatever it is, anytime you're upset and you're experiencing an emotion that you don't want to experience, you go to a relationship, be it alcohol, be it drugs, be it porn, whatever, and that would make me feel better. And why would it make me feel better? Because you get a dopamine release in your brain. Serotonin is released. And so for that brief moment, you feel good. And guess what happens 3 seconds later after you're done? Shame. Guilt. I'm gross. I'm unworthy. How could God love me? How could my wife love me? Dude, I'm embarrassed. I have children. Yeah, exactly. So all of these emotions come up. And so you end up punishing yourself for the hours after that. And so there is no relief. And that's the trick. And that's why they call the devil the deceiver. You know, let him lure him in, man. This will make all your problems go away. And then they get 10 times worse.
One thing you said that we don't talk about it. And I think that is just a symptom of the pandemic.
Sure.
Right? And so that's what I love about what we're doing today. We're actually exposing this into the light. We're taking what has been done in darkness, and we're going, nope, we're going to bring, and I love that we're outside, because we are bright light right now.
Come on.
So SoCal sunshine happening, and we're just dropping the light on this today. And I know that things are going to get exposed, but it's not to hurt anybody. It's to reveal some things so we can heal some things.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, for me, it was a little different. So I started watching porn when I was 14, and at that time, the internet was around. So a little different from you guys scrolling through,
yeah,
going back
to
TV.
Yeah, you got the good stuff, bro. You were on demand, man. It was just like whatever's on cable, porn, Playboy, TV that night. Yep. That's what we were watching.
Yeah, so I was 14. I believe I was a freshman in high school, and I grew up in a Christian family. So I always knew that, like, I'm going to respect girls and respect women and not sleep with someone until I'm married. But when you have, when you're kind of sheltered like that, your spirit, something on the inside wants to gravitate towards something else. And so for me, I'm like, watching porn, that's not a bad thing at all. Like, I'm just going on the internet, typing it up and watching it, whatever. But what I started to realize was the more I did it, the more I continued to get numb to it, and I wanted to continue to watch it. And I started to realize that, man, every time I watched it, like you were just saying, Steve, you watch it, but then 5 minutes after you're done, you feel guilty, you feel shame, you feel like you're an idiot, you made such a terrible mistake. And for me, it's like the enemy will lure you into watching it and will enable you to be enticed by it to watch it for a while. But then when you come out of it, then it's not the enemy destroying your life anymore. It's almost like you're self-destructing your own life.
Right?
And so for me, I was like, man, I don't know why I'm addicted to this thing and want to continue to watch it. And even though I feel guilty after watching it, something in me wants to continue to watch it. So it was something I struggled with, to be honest, for about 3-4 years in high school, because all my other friends in high school were sleeping around with girls and watching porn and doing all sorts of stuff. But for me, I knew I'm going to protect the women. I'm not going to sleep. I'm not going to do those things. And so I'm kind of justified in my own mind that it was something right to do because I wasn't doing something like sleeping with a girl, but I was only going to an internet. But in essence, it actually started to destroy something in my brain, and I continued to get numb to it. But thank God I was able to come out of it 3 years later before I graduated high school, and we'll talk about the healing process of all that to come.
That's good, man. It's like I was similar to you, Connor, where I saw porn at 14, you know, and so then I was a closet porn masturbator from then until 17, because similar to you, man, I grew up in the church. And so, you know, don't have sex till you're married. Don't have, you know, sex till you get married. And so I held out to 17, and like all my other buddies were like 13, 14,
young.
15, 16. But the reason, like in my mind, I'm like, oh, I can abstain from sex. But dude, I had just as nasty of a habit that was honestly, it was destroying me and nobody knew anything about it.
Well, it's that thing we were talking about earlier. It's that scripture that says, how can a man take a fire and put it close to his chest and not get burnt? So we can justify anything. Like we can say, oh, I'll just hold it this close, but I won't go that far. Well, you're going to get burnt either way, you know? And in this thing, I always tell people, man, this kind of stuff like punks us out. Like in the moment, it feels right.
Yeah.
It looks right.
Yeah.
Sounds right. But then when it's all over, it's like we're on that show, you know, we just got punked. Like, because then the enemy or the devil just goes, here, now watch this. Let me put you on display for what you really are. And then that's where all the guilt, shame, and lies and all that stuff that we tell ourselves comes in play. And but what's crazy, though, is that we will go there, and then to feel better, we'll go back.
Exactly.
It's weird.
It's like a drug addict, though.
Yeah.
Like, I know I can't do these drugs. And then you do the drugs, and you feel terrible about yourself once you start to come down. So you just eat more drugs, you know? And then that's what keeps you in this cycle. And like one of the things you were saying, Connor, is like it was almost kind of like the lesser of two evils.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Not at all.
But it's not. Like, yes, you're only hurting yourself. And in a marriage, you're hurting other people. But like for single men, it's like, well, you know, when I was younger, it's like, well, I can do this and so I don't do that. And then when I got married, it was like, well, I'll do this. So, you know, if my intimacy at home with my wife isn't what I want it to be or make up that it should be, then the lesser of two evils, I'm not going to step out on my wife and go be with another woman.
Right.
And so the lesser of two evils. And so the devil, it doesn't matter what stage in your life it is. You know, like for guys that are like, for you, Connor, you're like, oh man, like, you could make up in your mind that it'll be so much easier to beat this once I get married, because then I can have somebody that I can, you know, be with, right? It's not any easier, bro.
Yeah.
It is not any easier. It is actually more difficult, because the devil sees what God has created. That is living in God's promise and God's way is being with another woman and being monogamous and being devoted and loving her. But then he plants that seed that she's not going to give you what you need because you're a man and your sex drive is this and her sex drive is that. And so he stops you from having any communication with her about that because porn is right there. Porn is so easy. Just go charge up your phone. Go charge up your iPad, bro. You're good. You don't need her. She's tired. She's right. Got five kids. Like, let her rest. Like, you're expecting too much of her. Just go in the bathroom and take care of this. That's what the devil will tell us.
Oh, yeah, all day long. And I want to say this because just in light of even guys that are Connor's age, because, you know, I mentor a lot of guys that are his age, and it's this, we think that it's going to be okay until we get married,
right?
And then all of a sudden one day, oh, it's just going to go away.
Right.
You show me an addiction. I thought that, bro. You show me an addiction that stops just like that. Nice. Unless you go cold turkey, but then what you're
yeah,
also
yeah, but I'm doing, really disciplined, Tommy. I can handle it.
Right, but, okay.
That's what people think.
But what you do is you create a story, and you create an expectation.
Right.
To get into marriage. So now you've expected the girl who's sitting across you and who's saying, I do, to perform on everything that you've been watching and creating and creating the story around. And then when she doesn't, now all of a sudden you've got this unmet expectation. And now all of a sudden this is where the marriage starts to, okay, well now in marriage, I'll just go back to what I knew before, which I'll go back to my porn, which then destroys the marriage even further because not only are you bringing that same thing into your marriage, but now you've brought another person into your marriage or people, depending on what you're watching. And so this is where, you know, Michelle and I, my wife and I, see where the pattern started as a single, young single person, and then they got married, unmet expectations, went back to the same thing, and then it just takes its toll. And that's where we have to stop it at the early age. So like for you, 12, 14, come on, guys, think about that. That's when we have our age of accountability.
Right.
That's where we start, puberty starts happening.
It's when you form your identity of yourself. Like, okay, I'm good or I'm bad, or I'm like sexually not normal. And a lot of people, because of porn, become sexually like unnormal because of, I wrote some things down, like the amount of, like when you get into marriage, there's no like school or mentorship for people to tell you, even in the church, even for people to tell you, like, what's normal frequency to have sex? What is the normal duration? What is the intensity level that's acceptable? What about the abilities that my wife should have or the abilities that I have? What about the enjoyment? Should she enjoy this or all these different things? And it all gets skewed because you just make up in your mind, well, this is how all the other people, so I watched porn for 20 some years, this is how all the thousands and tens of thousands of women and men that I've seen, this is how they do it. And so I just make up in my mind, and I got married when I was 24. I was just a pup. And so all the things that we're talking about, like, I literally had to go to therapy, go to mentorship, have conversations to be able to get to the point where I could say, I'm not broken. I'm not gross. I'm not slimy. I'm not unnormal. Other men are like this. But until men actually share what they're going through or what they went through or where they're at right now, other men can't rally around them to get them to the next level of their life. Meaning, like, dude, don't carry that weighted vest of shame and addiction around with you, because God has such a big life for you. You have so many amazing gifts and skills, but you're doubting yourself and you're doubting your identity and who God created you to be because of a bad habit that came into your life at 13 years old. That does not get to exist in your life and in your lifestyle and your mindset anymore. And here's how.
From day one, man, the enemy is always trying to steal our identity, right? And so 12 years old, started to steal my identity, started to create a different...
Yeah, chip away at the man that God created you to be.
Thank God I broke past that. But to your point earlier, here's what we do. So we get into this guilt, shame, whatever, and we don't tell other guys. So we build these walls up around ourselves. And in building that wall, guess what happens? I can't get out, but others can't get in either. And so what happens in there is we implode. And this is where self-destruction happens. And this is where you see rape happening. This is where you see suicide happening. This is where you see twisted stuff with little kids happening. This just because we create our own world.
Isolation.
Right. And so that's the dark side of it. That's the reality of what really happens. And so what I believe the intention of this podcast number one, by the way, because I know
we're going to have to have a follow-up volume to this, no doubt, is
that men just need to just go, dude, here's where I'm really at, man. I'm tired of being in the box, tired of being in the walls, let it out and get some healing, because what you don't reveal, you can't heal.
Yeah, good word.
So we need to start revealing some things and get past the judgment, get past the lies that the enemy's trying to tell you. Oh, they're going to judge you. Oh, they're going to think bad about you. No, actually, I would think very highly of somebody if they came to me and said, I got a problem with this, man, and I need help. I'm like, good, because now we can start the healing process, you know? So I just want to encourage the guys that are listening today, get with a trusted person, or your pastor, your wife, if you're married.
Bro, here's the deal. Don't get with any of those people. Text me. Got it. DM you.
Yeah.
Like, we're having this conversation right now. Like, if the words that we're saying right now, because that's why we're doing this podcast, bro. You know, I know you know this, Tommy, but I'm speaking to the men and women listen to this, because I know there's a lot of ladies that listen to this as well. Dude, if your husband is struggling with this, or as a man, if you're struggling with this, and, you know, we've got another probably 10 or 15 minutes left to tie a bow on this thing, because I want to share with you biblically a couple things that Pastor Tommy and I spoke about, and he prepared, and then tactically, where can we move from here to be able to get the type of vision, the type of support, and the type of encouragement that we all need. Not just the person listening to this. I'm talking about me. Yeah, like, man. I'm going to explain to you guys what I've built in my life, the team that I've built in my life, and the defense that I've built in my life that has allowed this thing to be 2 years ago, not today. Like, do I get attacked every day? Hell yeah, man. I'm on Instagram. Bro.
Dude, Connor and I were just on Instagram the other day. And just to flip, just to go like this, just a swipe left, and it's just like everything's just right there.
Yeah.
And it wasn't because he was intentionally looking. It's just there. Right there. And here's the other thing. I thought about this on the drive over, man. Like, ladies, stop. Like, dude, stop, like, putting yourself, like, all out there and putting your business all up in, you know, your Instagram stuff, because what does that do? What's the difference? You know what I mean? What's the difference between a hard nipple on a porn thing or a hard nipple on Instagram? Yeah, to me, it's the same.
Yeah. I'm going to agree with you. That's a different fight. You know what I want, and I know you agree with me, what I want this podcast and what I'm believing this podcast is going to be is, like you said, man, it's you're going to reveal, and so you can heal, and this is going to armor you up with the confidence and the tactical skills and the connection through a relationship that's going to allow you to not matter what it is that you see. So women, dude, example, you know, as a rock star, women are like your friend, dude, your best friends with Head from Korn. Could you imagine how many panties are thrown up on that stage? And so what I believe this podcast will do will empower you with the confidence, the tools, and the Holy Spirit to be able to, no matter what is thrown at you, to be able to abstain and remain a man of integrity, honor, and accountability. That's what this thing really comes down to.
Can I share a one-minute story about that? So I'm backstage with Head, and this girl comes, you know, backstage, and she wants to talk to Head, but she wants to talk to him privately.
Sure.
And she's got all these pictures she wants to show him and all this stuff, and he's like, no, I don't think so. She's like, no, let's just go back to the back. Come on, I want to talk to you about this. He goes, the only way I'll go back to with you is if I can take my pastor with me. And of course she wouldn't do it, and then so she ended up leaving. But what I appreciated about that and respected about that is he said, I am not going to put myself in that position, considering, you know, I have a lot to lose. Two, I'm going to be accountable to somebody, you know, and this is not going to be a part of my life. So he built his defense. He built, you know, something around him. And we'll talk about that in a minute on how to secure yourself in this stuff.
Let's get into the story of David. And then I would love to get into, you know, the three steps that, you know, that collectively as a team talking before this that have worked collectively in our, because we have three different stories, three different experiences, but we all in Jesus' name have overcome this.
Come on.
How did we do it? We have collectively built three steps for you. Actually, there's going to be a fourth.
All right, cool.
There's three tactical, and there's one spiritual. So with that being said, Tommy, unpack that story of King David.
So you go to 2 Samuel and chapter 11, and it's talking about, you know, it's wartime, so it's a season of war, and David is sending people out to war and people are coming back in. And there's a night. It's about midnight, the Bible says. And David wakes up because he can't sleep. So think about that. He can't sleep. And I just love how this practically applies to what happens, how men get into this thing. It's in a dark time. It's in the middle of the night. It's when, you know, the enemy's got your attention. Okay. So he happens to get up and he's walking around his balcony and he looks over and he looks down and there's Bathsheba. Now, the right thing to do, the appropriate thing would have been to do is just, oh, dang, whoa, that's not something I want to see. But David continues to look. So what does he do? He takes his eyes and he focuses on her. And because he allowed that to get into his eye gate, he allowed it to get into his mind, and then eventually it sunk down into his heart because it became a desire, because the word says is that he sent for her. His eyes went to his mind, to his heart, which is where our desires fire up. That desire fired up. He took her. He had sex with her, got her pregnant, and that's the consequences right there. Mm. Because the consequences, it wasn't that he had sex with a woman. He had sex with somebody else's wife.
Right.
And he was married himself. And so this plays out. We look at it. We start having thoughts. It becomes our desires. And then depending on how far we take it, we act it all out. And that's why there's all this twisted stuff going on in the world today. That's why TV has changed from when I was 12 years old to what it is today. Now it's just normal to have sex on TV. But because they want to get it in your eyes.
That's
so
good.
It gets in your thoughts. So it becomes your desires. So then we live action. This stuff out. Action, right? And then there was the consequences. In fact, he went so far because he felt so guilty and so ashamed. He went and had Bathsheba's husband Uriah killed in battle so that he wouldn't have to deal with what he thought wouldn't have to deal with the consequences. Now, the beauty behind this is that David is not only just known for this story, but David is also known as a man after God's own heart.
Right.
Which tells me there was a shift, there was a change in his life that he probably figured out, hey, wait a minute, that was the wrong thing to do. He repented before God, got right with God, had a relationship with God,
right,
and got it right. And to be noted for from now until the rest of time as a man after God's own heart. And I believe there's a lot of guys that are listening right now who are stuck in that guilt, shame area, but God loves you and he knows that you're a man after his own heart. And it's just going to take a shift of repentance to get to that place. And so we're just calling you out, man, today, not because we're trying to bring you down, but we're trying to lift you up to get this to a place of where you go, God, you know what? I did some things.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. And then what repentance means, it's a beautiful word. It means I can turn from where I'm at, which is a stuck place, and go towards my Father and call on him and say, here I am, and then have relationship with him through repentance. And it's such a beautiful experience and such a beautiful way of doing life. It's the repentance. And then to be known as a man after God's own heart. Come on.
That's good.
Let's get into the tactical.
That's good. Before we do that, you talked about relationship, and I wanted to make sure that I mentioned this.
Oh, yes.
It was an Instagram post that one of my good friends put up, and it was about guilt and shame, really, you know, and there's so much. I feel like that is the like black slime. That's the pit that men, and I've been there with you guys, that men, man, you get stuck in that mud, in that pit. And what Pastor Tommy's saying right now is, this podcast is built for you to like grab our hand, get out of that muck. Now, granted, when you get up and we pull you out, you're still dirty, bro. You're still dirty. There's still something that you need to do to get clean. But take Tommy's hand, take King Connor's hand, take my hand. We're giving you permission to leave this thing behind you. And I want to share this thing from Instagram. And it says, religion, it's like a definition of religion. Religion is, I messed up. My dad is going to kill me, meaning like you're speaking to God. When you make a mistake and when you wake up in the morning, you're doing religion. When you make a mistake, your shame and guilt says, my dad is going to kill me. But what the gospel says is, man, I messed up. I need to call my dad. That's what relationship is. Like porn was sent to make you feel bad about yourself, to put a wall between you and God. So when you don't let that exist anymore in your life, and when it does, you just call your dad the same way I would call my dad. I remember when I was in college and when I really screwed up, when I got arrested or I got in a fight or something, I would call my dad, but only when it was like the worst, worst stuff. I would call my dad, I really messed up. And the same way every single time, you know, he met me with love. My dad was so good with me when I made mistakes. But my first inclination is, oh, fudge, my dad's going to kill me.
You know, it's interesting. That's an interesting thing. My son called me a few years ago, and he made an enormous mistake in college and with a girl. And he didn't know anywhere else to turn, but he said, okay, I'll call my dad, see if he can get me out of this thing. And what I did was I, just as I would do with any man who reaches out to us in this podcast or on our Instagrams, I love the hell out of him. You hear that, though? I loved the hell out of him so that it could overcome him. And now today he calls me just about anything. That was the shifting, the turning point. And we have that same access to our Father God that we can go with him our dirtiest, darkest, stupidest secrets. And he just says, I just want to hear from you. I'm here for you. I'm never going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. There's nothing you can do. My love for you is set in stone. There ain't nothing going to change that. No height, nor depth, nothing. It just, there's nothing that can convince God to not love you. It's because it's who he is. 1 John 4:8. God is love.
That's right.
And so there's nothing going to ever separate us from that love, according to the book of Corinthians. So if nothing can separate us, and it is who he is, and he's saying he's for us, and he's not against us, he's never going to leave us, he's never going to forsake us, that right there is the, as you call it, the permission to go boldly before the throne of grace, receive love, receive grace, receive that mercy that's new every day to us from him.
That's the thing that I feel like zaps my strength. You know, like when 2 years ago and before, that would be the thing that would zap my strength. Like all the gifts that God gave us, man, dude, you know how quickly or how hard you work to gain a skill to, you know, punt a football in the pros or to stand on a stage like you stand and to do the things that Connor does. Like you work really, really hard to develop skills, but one thing can eradicate years and years of preparation and work, and it's guilt and shame. It will shut you down. And that's why all of these gifts that God has placed inside of people don't get to come to full fruition because of guilt and shame. And maybe it's not porn, maybe it's something else, but at the end of the day, it's that guilt and that shame that's stopping you, not just from being who God created you to be, but using all the gifts and the talents and the tools and all the hard work and the preparation that you've put into life. You don't get to use it because you allow something to exist in your life like guilt or shame. So I do want to get into tactically, practically, how do we get over these things? In the first one, when we came up with the three steps, and then we're going to add a fourth one to it, but the three steps, the first one's very simple, is build a wall,
build
man.
Build a wall, man.
Build a wall. Tommy, talk to us about what build a wall means.
Building a wall means just safeguarding yourself with, okay, so I have access to a phone, I have access to a laptop, I have access to my cable. What's the wall that I can build? And Connor was talking earlier about just it's basically just changing the proxies in your systems. And so there's things you can put on your phone, Google, like pop-up blockers blockers.
We're going to put the one that I recommend.
Right.
I've got
so
a good
porn
one.
Blockers. And you can call your cable company and say this. You know what? There was a guy, a preacher friend of mine. He would go to a hotel, and he'd go to the lady at the front desk, and he'd say, hey, listen, I just want you to know,
100%.
I need you to make sure that this doesn't happen in my room. Could you make sure that I just need the local channels, that's it? And he was just so intentional about it. So with that on your computer, where it's your laptop or your phone, you're in a hotel, whatever it is, put up the blockers, man.
It's just like it's you know what it reminds me when you're saying this? I knew that we talked about this earlier, but it's coming to me now. It's like, what do you do when you bring a baby home from the hospital? You baby-proof the house.
Right.
You know, you put gates because eventually they're going to be walking and they're going to put their fingers in the outlets and they're going to hit their head on the corner of the thing. And so I've had so many kids, we just get into a routine. When we move into a new house, it's like, all right, where is the danger? And we go and we baby-proof the house. And so if you just visualize yourself, and I had 2 years ago, I had zero problems visualizing myself as like a little baby in regards to my relationship with pornography. I couldn't control myself, right? And so this first step, when we're talking about building a wall, this is you baby-proofing your life. And what baby-proofing your life means, go through Instagram. If there's people that you follow that like every third or fourth post is them in a thong, dude, you need to just message them and be like, I love you, but I'm working on myself, so don't take offense. I'll follow you again some other time. Love yourself enough and stand firm enough in yourself enough to put yourself first and what you need so you can serve other people. Pastor Tommy, I see you scribbling things down. So before you finish it, I'm just going to let you talk.
No, I love that. Just that baby-proofing thing. It's like, so I'll give you an example. And we're going to, this is part of the tactical. My wife and I were married before, and I did a lot of dumb things in my marriage, had affairs and all that stuff, because I wasn't even prepared for marriage. I mean, I just did a lot of dumb things, but I didn't baby-proof my social media.
Mm.
And so what ended up happening was I started looking at stuff, and my wife would be like, why are you following that person? What's going on? Like, you know, of course it wasn't that nice. You know,
sure,
what I mean?
Right.
But it got to the place where what I did was I said, okay, let's go through all these together and we unclick them together. So we'll talk about that in a minute. But for me, it was, I don't need to see that.
Right.
And so now I don't need my wife to tell me, like, I get friend requests all the time. I get all these, and hey, do you want to accept, block, or delete? Delete. I don't need whatever you got, whatever you're trying to bring to the table, delete. You know what I mean? That's exactly how I do relationship. It's either accept, block, or delete.
You're either granting access into influence, because if they're in your life, they will have some type of impact on you.
Yeah.
So it's like, do I want this person in my life moving forward with where I'm going and the vision that I have for my life, or could I pass? A lot of the times, you hit pass.
Yeah, man. And I don't have to accept every invitation. You know.
What did Billy say? You're called to love everyone. You're not called to everyone.
Yeah. I think just part of the baby proofing is, you know, the stuff that, like you're saying, that we see, just unchecking those things.
Yeah.
And sometimes we just need to get off of social media for a while. It's called, you know, do some fasting, get alone with Papa, sit on his lap and hang out with him for a while.
Yeah, man. Digital detox. What I do, this is my general rule of thumb, is 1 day per week you get off of social media. And if you can do that, 1 day per week, like, give yourself a Sabbath from social media, has been super, super helpful for me. Now, granted, I had to hire somebody that helps me with it, but he's just another layer of accountability, because I understand maybe for some people this isn't as much of a temptation, but we get stuff direct messages to us all the time. It doesn't matter how much I talk about my faith or my family.
Yeah.
We still get attacked. We still get pictures sent to us, and that's my layer of accountability. You know what I mean? Like, I actually got one this week. Hey, I'd love to come into San Diego. I'm going to be here tomorrow night. I'd love to work out with you, like, one-on-one. Do you do those? And she's just got nothing but thong pictures. You know, she's one of those fit chicks. Not even going to reply to that. You know, like, I can't even say, like, oh, thanks.
Delete.
Right. Yeah, I don't even – you know how they have in your DMs, accept or, like, reply.
Accept. No. Block or delete.
Yeah. No, I just delete because I don't want to be mean to them and block them because they can enjoy my content. But I can't have something like that in my life. It's destructive. So let's move to number two, unless, Connor, you have something to add to it. So number one would be build a wall. Number two, and this is something that for me was so, so pivotal. So once I made this decision that this will not exist in my life anymore, I made a public declaration of that with my wife, meaning, baby, I know this is something you know has existed in our home and on my phone and on this computer. This will never exist in our life again, but I need you to be on my team. I need you to help me work through this. I need you to be in the fight with me. And so the second step to beating pornography and taking control and getting freedom back in your life is building a team. I built a team by sharing my struggle with somebody else. And so she's not from the outside looking in, just hoping and praying that I'm going to beat it. Yes, she's praying, but she's actually got her sleeves rolled up, doing the work with me. Okay, babe, well, if you need my support in defeating this, how can I show up for you in an intimate way that would allow you to work through this process? Because that was a part of me struggling with porn, is like, intimately, I didn't communicate well. We didn't communicate well. She had no idea that it was as bad as what it was, meaning I was struggling as bad as what I was. She just thought it was something that I could go off, aka blow off some steam. Nah, man, it was more than just a hobby. It was a relationship. And so once I enrolled my wife and enrolled my brothers in my battle, the struggle became their struggle. And there, you know, it says it in scripture, where two or more are gathered in his name. And when I enrolled those people, they weren't Joe Blow off of the block. They were mighty men filled with the Holy Spirit, helping me fight that fight. They weren't just buddies off of the block. Hey, man, I'm really struggling with this. Could you send me encouragement? No. These are guys who are willing to get in the foxhole and get bloody with me.
You know, Billy says too, he says, you know, the struggle is real.
Mm.
The struggle is real.
Yeah.
But so is the solution.
Yeah, so is the God we serve.
Yeah, and we're giving you solutions right now. And I love that what you said was you brought Laura into this thing. And what that does is you bring the right people on and you kick the wrong people out.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're watching porn and you're married, you got people, you're involving other people into your marriage. And so this is where we cut it off. We say, sorry, you're not welcome here. Got to go. Bye-bye. Peace out. And then we bring the right people in. We bring the Laura's, which is your wife, and then, you know, the Connors and myself and other guys to surround you and to surround each other, to hold hands and take this battle on together. Because what you said was, where two or more are gathered, I believe that's where we kick ass.
Yeah, man.
You know?
That's the deal, man. That's the deal. That's how God created us to be. He didn't create us to be in isolation. And so to kind of circle it back to before we hit this third point, you said at the beginning of this podcast, man, like, we're in a pandemic. There's 42 billion people that go to Pornhub alone. That's just that website, 42 billion.
150 million daily views.
Wow.
That's poison, man. Dude, I was a consumer of it, you know, probably once a day. You know what I mean?
So what do we got? We got build your wall, build your team.
Build your defense. Connor, do you want to start on that, or you want Tommy to start on that? I definitely want you to add in on it, though.
So here's what I did, man. When I started building that wall and building my team, and when my wife and I, Michelle, got remarried, I brought her into this thing and said, okay, look, here's what didn't work the first time we were married, and the second time around, though, this time now, we're going to do things right. You're my teammate. And I remember driving down PCH when we lived in Long Beach, and I was driving through Huntington Beach. And, dude, there's, like, dental floss everywhere. You know what I mean? Like, nipples and dental floss everywhere. And I'm like, what am I going to do? Close my eyes and wreck? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's everywhere, right? So I went back to Michelle and I said, hey, look, I know this is going to be a trip, but I got to share with you where I'm at. Because I had a team member, because I had built the walls, I had built the defenses. I said, here's how you can pray for me. Here's what I want to just expose this thing to you, because I want it to be known to you. And this is where we exposed it we took the dark stuff, put it in the light. It's kind of like mold. Where does mold grow?
Mold in the basement, in the darkness.
Right? And so I said, I'm going to bring it to the light and kill it, and bringing it to my wife and saying, and this is it. I've even talked to my son about it. And so now we've got this dialogue that goes back and forth, but that's part of building the defenses around it. And I remember, again, going through Instagram and Facebook, and just, we just went through it and unchecked and unclicked and deleted and did all kinds of stuff together. And I think that's the vaccine. You know?
Yeah. That's that. The third step he's talking about, this build your defense, talking about this vaccine, is we build up our immunity when we have these conversations. You know what I mean? That's what it is. It's building our immunity to understand and realize, holy crap, man, this person that I looked up to, or this person that's close to me, struggles with the same thing. So then there can't be isolation anymore. There's only brotherhood.
And here's what I did. I gave Michelle permission and access to everything that I have. Every password. In fact, we have a secured thing in our thing that has all the passwords and stuff. And on any moment of the day, she didn't even have to tell me she's in there, she can go look and see where I've been. Now, thank God, it's been almost 7 years that I haven't gone wrong direction. So she's, but now she's like, I don't have to go there because you got a proven track record. I said, just I want you to know.
Yeah.
That temptation, that thought, those things, they're still all out there.
Sure.
But because you prayed for my eyes, my mind, and my heart, and my feet, and my hands, and make sure that I only step and only see, and you see what I'm going?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I gave her full access to everything. And that was freeing for me. Because then also, it keeps me accountable, you know, to my best friend.
No, that's good, man. So those are our first three steps. Now, this is the most powerful, most transformational part of this, and we're talking about repentance. We're talking about, okay, now that we've built the support system, now that we've built the wall, now that we've built the team, now that we've built the defense, now's the point where I was kind of describing to you earlier, where Pastor Tommy, myself, King Connor, man, we're putting our hand out to you to pull you out of that muck, that mire, that grossness, that slime, that shame, that guilt, that unworthiness, that disqualification from greatness. We're pulling you out of that right now. Now you're standing on a pedestal with us. You still have that grime and that muck on you. It's time for the fourth step where you get transformed, you get renewed, you get cleaned. You'll be white as a sheet in the best, purest type of way. Pastor Tommy, let's talk about that.
Yeah, I think it's just being able to say, hey, I made a mistake, and it's not good for me. And the beauty of repentance, you know, I think we look at this thing called repentance. And because religion has put such a bad thing on it, you alluded to that Instagram post earlier, how we feel like God is just always looking at us in a negative tone, and he's always got like these fiery eyes that he's judging us with. Oh man, God is love, and it's of course he doesn't like what's going on. Of course, just as a dad, I don't like to see my kids doing stuff that I know is going to be bad for them, but I also love them where they're at, and I'm always there for them, and I want to pull them out, which means I make room and I make access to me, regardless of what the situation is, to love them. And that's where my kids can come to me and say, Dad, I did something wrong. I need help. I'm going to turn from that thing. I'm going to turn to you. I'm going to let you guide me. I'm going to let Holy Spirit walk me through this. And I'm just going to follow that. And for some of you listening, you don't have a relationship with God. And so you've just been under this whole guilt, shame, and condemnation thing, you know, most of your life. And I want you to know there's a God who loves you. There's a God who sent his only son, Jesus Christ. It says, for God so loved, put your name in the blank, fill in the blank with whatever your name is. For God so loved you that he sent his only begotten son, that you would have life, that he died for you, so that you would have life and life more abundantly. All this for you. And what he's asking you to do is just to say, hey, I'm here. I need you. I want that in my life. I repent of my sins. I come to you, and I'm just going to follow you from now on. And if that's you, would you reach out? If you say, hey, I want to make that decision. I want to have that relationship with God. I want to have what you guys, what Connor has, what Steve has, what Tommy has. I want that relationship. I want that freedom, because that's what he does. He sets captives free. John 8:36 says, for whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Come on, somebody, right? So if you want that freedom, would you reach out to one of us?
Man, let's just pray right now.
Come on.
Yeah, reach out to us, because I would love to know whether or not you prayed this prayer. But I'm not going to wait until you DM me and run the risk of it getting lost. So right now, man, just in this moment, man, let's just join hands, Pastor Tommy, Connor. Holy Spirit, we just thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for the way that you love us. And we thank you for brotherhood. We thank you for the relationship that you have with us, and the fact that all it takes is for us to just make a decision and to say the words and to feel the words, to receive your love, to receive your anointing, to just be transformed. So we just pray and lift up every man, woman, and child that's listening to this right now, either on Instagram Live, Facebook, or listening to this podcast. We just pray right now that they can repeat these words after me. God, I love you. I believe that your son was sent to earth. I believe that he lived a perfect life. I believe that he was buried in a tomb, 3 days later raised up. I believe that he died for my sins. I receive the blood of Jesus Christ to wash over me all of the guilt, all of the shame, all of the unworthiness, all of the dirt and grime is gone in Jesus' name from your life. You are free. You are set free. God loves you. Jesus Christ came to this planet to sacrifice perfectness for us so we could live, so we could be forgiven. And so we don't have to carry around the weight, the guilt of mistakes that we've made, because in a moment, our Father will come down. Our Father, our Heavenly Father will come down and transform us. All we have to do is receive. So thank you for this moment. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for compassion. And thank you for new things, new levels, and a new life for every single person who has prayed this prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Anything else you guys want to?
I just say for all the religious scholars who've been listening, yeah. and I just put John 3:16 and 17 and kind of meshed them together. I understand. I got it.
Come on.
It's okay. It's gonna be okay. God still moves.
God still moves.
Come on,
King Connor.
Yeah, just to end this podcast up. I think the true power is when we can fully, like, acknowledge what Tommy was saying earlier, that it doesn't matter your mistake. It doesn't matter what you slipped on. It doesn't matter that you might have been addicted to porn for X amount of years, that God still loves you, that God still cares for you. And the true vaccine is truly just opening up your heart and acknowledging to God first and to other people that you're struggling with something. And that's where the freedom can come. That's when the healing can come. It's when you try and keep it in your heart and keep it secured and private and you're afraid of what other people are going to think. That's when you're going to see your life completely go the wrong way. But when you can just acknowledge your mistakes, acknowledge that you have an addiction, and release it to God, that's where the freedom comes and that's where the power comes. And I believe today this helped a lot of people. And I know for me, like, I help lead a high school youth ministry, and there's kids in there from 14 to 18 years old that are struggling with this same thing. And I just want to encourage you guys today that the struggle is real, but the solution is real too, and that God's got great plans for you no matter what you did. So continue to know that you're on the right path, and reach out to one of us, and we're here to help you, love on you, and encourage you. And we know that you're going to break this addiction and come out the other side better.
Come on, man, in Jesus' name. So the last thing I'm going to say to you guys, man, reach out to me. If you prayed that prayer, text me. We'll put the number in the show notes, 949-763-5934. I brain farted there for a minute. So text me. And if you guys are interested in taking the next level and really getting some massive acceleration in your business, in your fitness, in your life, in your faith, text us, because we've got something called Man Academy twice a week. We go to bat and we run the race with 12 mighty men. And we've got two groups of 12. We've got an upcoming class that we're going to start here very soon. So if you're interested in accelerating those areas of your life, let's do that together. Text me. We'll talk soon. And make sure that you share this podcast with somebody that you love, because this could be the thing that saves their life. I love you guys, and we'll see you next week.
Hey guys, thank you for listening to another episode of the Steve Weatherford Show. And I couldn't be more excited to build on what I've done in my life, to share my experiences with some of the most amazing people, to give you the mindsets and the actionable steps to level up your life and live a high performance lifestyle. Now, if this episode impacted you, there are a few things I need you guys to do right now that would be a massive support to us. First, we need you to subscribe to the podcast in iTunes or wherever you listen to it. And we wanna make sure that you're getting every single episode as soon as it drops. Second, I need you to join the movement over at weatherford5.com/podcast, where you can get the show notes and links to everything else on the episode. And lastly, tag me on Instagram with your key takeaway, as I'll be checking every single post. I'll talk to you guys next time. And for now, keep living a high performance life.